This program is presented by a community producer through Midland Community Television. The City of Midland and MCTV are not responsible for the content of the program. The views presented do not necessarily represent those of the City of Midland or MCTV. If you would like to produce your own program, contact MCTV at 837-3474 or access our website, cityofmidlandmi.gov/MCTV.
The following presentation of the Midland City Planning Commission will begin in a moment. The Midland City Planning Commission is responsible for overseeing the city's master plan, conducting public hearings, and offering recommendations to the City Council on a wide range of local land use issues. The Planning Commission consists of 9 Midland residents who are appointed by the City Council. Planning Commission meets 2 Tuesdays per month at 7 p.m. in Council Chambers at City Hall. This presentation is provided by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland. Replays of this meeting can be found on MGTV Channel 188 on Charter Spectrum, through Channel 99 on AT&T U-verse, or on demand at www.cityofmidlandmi.gov. Select meetings are available on MCTV Network's Government Affairs podcast channel.
Good evening and welcome to this regular meeting of the Midland City Planning Commission taking place on Tuesday, April 9th. This meeting is called to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would you please call roll?
McCoy?
Here.
Decro?
Here.
Collinger?
Here.
Powell?
Here.
Thomas?
Here.
Craig?
Here.
Griffiths?
Here.
Broderick?
Here.
Classic. Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
Next item on our agenda is approval of the minutes. We have one set of minutes to approve this evening, those for our regular meeting on March 12th. Any questions, comments, edits?
I move we approve as written.
I second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from a regular meeting on March 12th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Minutes are approved. The next item on our agenda are public hearings. We have 2 this evening. Our public hearing process is as follows. We'll begin with a staff presentation and overview of the petition. Then we will invite the petitioner to present before then opening it up for public comments as well as questions. We will then give the petitioner the opportunity to come up for final comments and any rebuttal. We will then close the public hearing and go into deliberation and possible decision by the Planning Commission. So with that, our first site plan this evening is number 429.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm actually gonna give the presentation from here, try out something a little different. Okay, so site plan number 429 is for River Rock Animal Hospital, located at 2509 Luana Street. The applicant is Practical Engineers Incorporated on behalf of Lane Adams or Adams Family Holdings, LLC. The zoning for the property is OS Office Service, and the proposal is a 7,920 square foot veterinary clinic. So taking a look at the subject property, it's located on Luana Street, close to Ashman Circle, between Ashman and Rod, just south of the Law Enforcement Center and Kroger. Taking a kind of closer look at the subject property, the site is currently vacant with asphalt parking lot remains. So the 2 previous buildings that you're seeing on this image were removed in 2020. They've housed a number of different medical offices since the 1960s. The existing driveway is proposed to be reused for this new development. And then the River Rock Animal Hospital is currently operating just north of the subject property at 116 Harold Street. So that building kind of in the upper right-hand corner. The zoning for the property, as I mentioned, is OS Office Service, It is surrounded by OS office service zoning to the north, east, and west. There is some RA4 single and two-family residential zoning that exists to the south along East Nelson Street. This area specifically will require some additional screening, which I'll get into in the next few slides here. Okay, so this is the site plan. As mentioned previously, this veterinary clinic is proposing to reuse the existing driveway. Parking is located in the northern portion of the site. Underground stormwater detention is proposed under the northernmost portion of that parking lot, closest to that property line. And then at 29 total spaces, total parking spaces, the parking lot actually does not meet the 31 parking space minimum based on the usable square footage. So we will need to see two additional spaces for that. A dumpster is located kind of at the southwestern corner of the parking lot. Let's see if I can use my mouse. Kind of in this area. We do need to see some additional details for the dumpster enclosure specifically. Some protective bollards and opaque lockable gate for the front. Other than that, the proposed dumpster is compliant on the other three sides. So taking a little bit closer look at the proposed vet clinic, a set of parking spaces are proposed kind of in this just to the west side of the clinic. These spaces are going to assist grieving customers when euthanasia services are used. Another detention area is located in the area west of the building. South of the building, there is a fenced-in area. This includes a 6-foot privacy fence, which is partly required along this property line that is adjacent to this RA4 zoning. With this, we will need to see some additional landscaping. So our standards specifically require a landscaping on the side facing the residential, minimum of 3 feet. So we will be looking for an updated landscaping plan to show that additional landscaping. This is the landscaping plan. As you can see, it is providing a number of interior parking lot landscaping, as well as landscaping adjacent to the street, in addition to the numerous street trees that are out there on Luana Street. So very well planted. Again, we'll need to see some additional plantings along this residential zoned property. This is the left elevation. So this is as you're looking from Luana Street facing west. This is the main entrance elevation, or the front elevation. And this would be facing south, kind of towards Nelson Street. And if you kind of are picturing this, we're kind of rotating around the building. This would be facing east towards Luana Street. You can kind of see this fenced-in area here. I believe it's going to be a sort of peace garden type area. And this is the side that has those additional parking spaces close to the building. And then this would be the view from the rear of the building facing the north. So this would kind of be as if you're looking from the backyard in that privacy kind of area. Okay, so for some outstanding items that we need to see, regarding site plan 429, we'll need to see a revised landscaping plan to include those plantings along the privacy fence. We will need to see some dumpster enclosure details, including the opaque lockable gate and the protective bollards. We do need to see a revised photometric plan. There were just a few minor areas that showed light trespass past that 1 foot maximum, 1 foot candle maximum. So a couple easy changes there. The proposed veterinary clinic does include at this point a kind of a apartment use on the upper floor for overnight employees to use. So with that, it was noted by our fire department that the building would need to be sprinkled given that use on the second floor. So if that is the case, an inclusion of a fire department connection with an additional hydrant within 100 feet of that FDC would be required. And then we'll need to see a revised parking layout showing a minimum of 31 parking spaces. So city staff has been working with the applicant, and most of these items are being addressed, if not already addressed. So we would look to continue reviewing those items and then have those back at the next meeting. So with that process, tonight is the public hearing, and we would look for possible Planning Commission consideration at the April 23rd meeting. We have received one public comment stating no objection. And with that, I'll entertain any questions.
Thank you. Questions, commissioners?
I'm trying to see from the drawing, that green space that's to the northeast, is that becoming, that's parking lot now, or would become parking lot? Because there's the existing parking lot, and then I'm trying to see if that was expanded into that green space to the north or northeast.
Which part, you said the northeast corner?
Where it shows that whitish building, and that's on a grassy area now.
This one here, yeah. So kind of this half would become parking primarily.
Okay, so some of that green space would become parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct.
With that, is there any drainage considerations or requirements moving from grass to asphalt?
So with this new development, yes, there would be the requirement for a stormwater management permit. So it does look like the applicant is proposing some underground stormwater. There are a number of kind of this sort of new green space that they'll be including kind of in this, kind of up here in this corner here, and then some parking lot islands. But yes, some stormwater additional. Pretty much a brand new stormwater permit for this site would be required, and it looks like they're proposing some detention here and then kind of in this western portion of the lot.
Another question I had was, being office service does allow for a veterinary clinic, is there any special uses as soon as there's overnight stays or other, okay, I guess accommodations within the vet clinic?
No. So our zoning ordinance does permit residential uses above business establishments in the OS office service zoning district. This isn't really that. If they were two separate uses, they would, I mean, it would all still be permitted, but okay. Looking at it, I don't know if that is kind of too much of an explanation, but.
Were you asking specifically about animal overnight stays or staff overnight stays?
Staff overnight stays was the unique part that I heard about the being office service, but then there was that element to it that sounded a little bit different, but I was just verifying that that's included. And then I guess the only other question I had was on setbacks from the, because it's residential, I guess, to the southwest, and it being a two-story, I guess, is there any, I guess, I'm not sure what that requirement is, but is that, I guess, in line?
Yeah, so the side setback, in this case, this portion closest to the RA4, still would be the office service minimum setback of 7 feet. So they're, it looks like they're providing 26-ish feet. But the side setbacks could go as low as 7 feet in the office service zoning district. Some of the extra requirements that come along with setbacks, specifically to these kind of office uses when it's adjacent to residential, would be for parking. So parking, if the parking lot was on the other side, it would need to maintain 10 feet setback from the residential zoned property, but that could be possibly why they chose to put this parking on the other side.
Okay. Does the screening on the southwest side, is that on the inside of the fence or on the outside?
So So typically, as these commercial uses, non-residential uses, are adjacent to property that's zoned for residential uses, there are screening requirements. Specifically with this property, the length of the adjoining properties are less than 200 feet, so they are able to provide this 6-foot privacy fence in lieu of a possible landscaping berm or green belt. However, they still need to provide a minimum 3-foot kind of landscaping on the side facing the residential. So we would need to see this privacy fence essentially move in 3 feet from the property line and then have some shrubs planted along the 6-foot privacy fence.
Three feet wide. Is that what?
Correct. Okay. Yep.
And it's the full length, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. Other questions?
Was there justification for the not meeting the minimum parking requirements?
I can defer that to the applicant. It's not a terribly large lot. I think it's 0.7 acres, so it's not quite an acre. And our parking standards sometimes require a lot of parking that some applicants might not feel is needed. So I think that's kind of where that mostly stemmed from. It's interesting. We do have some provisions within our ordinance that allow for additional parking. We don't have anything specific to this OS, office service district, for providing less parking. So we do have to see the minimum amount of parking provided.
Does this district allow for street parking or off-site parking, or is that not?
No, it does not. No.
I know that we just did the deferral parking. Was that a different, because of a different zone?
No, so this same development could provide deferred parking. There, in talking with the applicant, the site is pretty tight. I mean, that is an option for the applicant. If they did want to provide deferred parking, they could provide a deferred parking agreement and show where they would be able to put this parking. That is an option.
So of the five outstanding items, you said most of them were being or had been addressed by the applicant. Can you speak to which have been addressed at this point, or would you prefer the applicant to speak to that?
So we have yet to receive specific plans showing some of these details, but we have been in communication with the applicant.
Okay.
For a lot of these. Specifically for the parking, we have received an updated plan recently that shows an additional two spaces to reach that minimum parking kind of along here. Within this middle section, they've shrunk in the landscaping islands and kind of reduced the maneuvering lanes. So this is showing 26 feet kind of between these parking areas. And so they've reduced that down to 24 feet and then reduced these parking lot islands from 6 feet to 4 feet, I believe.
Any other questions? All right, we'll go ahead and invite the petitioner to present. Just need a name and address. Yep, right up here, name and address to get started, thank you.
My name's Sarah Ross, and I'm a civil engineer. Was hired by the owner and the contractor. It's a design build job with a local contractor. BCG Incorporated is doing the project. Here with me today are Dr. Lane Adams and her husband Mike. So they're local and want to expand their business in your community, which is great. First, I want to thank Ryan. We've been working together for a few weeks on some of the different requirements. We actually had a meeting 3 weeks ago about the parking, kind of came up with a number, and then after he did further review, he came up with the 31. So it's kind of been a back and forth thing. When analyzing the business, Dr. Adams and myself looking at other businesses thought they needed maybe between 22 and 25 spaces. So the 31 wasn't out of that realm. The 29 wasn't out of that realm. So I don't think we're looking to do deferred right now. I did read that part of your ordinance that we could do. But adding those two spaces wasn't a big deal. We had expanded those maneuvering lanes. The minimum requirement is 22 feet. We had them at 26, just shrank them up a little bit, and we kind of talked about those options. I actually already have a revised landscaping and photometrics plan. I just didn't want to print them out until I got your feedback in case there was something else that you guys were looking for today. So I'll get those submitted, you know, in the next day or two, certainly before the 12th deadline. Regarding the rest of it, Ryan did a great job with the, you know, the explanation that he had and everything that he went through. So his presentation was very thorough. I would normally be going through all of those things, kind of a checklist, and he did it for me. So he kind of saved me a lot of speaking. But in the meantime, I'm here to answer any questions that you might have. Just fire away, and I'm sure the owner also can answer any questions that you might have.
Questions, commissioners? I think the only two items were the so beyond the landscaping, parking spaces, photometric plan, was the fire department connection, and then the dumpster screening and bollards as well. Any issues or concerns there?
My apologies. The hydrant, I know that the architect has been in touch with the building department, and they've kind of been going back and forth on which things can be waived, which things can't be waived, how they can have, you know, that space. And so I'm going to defer to them a little bit, but I just told them I need an answer, you know, by tomorrow to kind of be able to move forward with that. I can certainly show a hydrant, you know, with a split off to the building for a hydrant connection and the split off. That's pretty common on projects. But on this one, and initially, they didn't know that it would be required. So I think they're working through that right now, that conversation between the architect and the head building official. So that portion's not a problem for me. I can show it on my plan. We can certainly put it in if it's required. I think I actually will just show it on the plan, and then if something happens down the road, much easier to take something off than to add something.
Okay. And the dumpster requirements?
It's already on the plan, so okay. I put a note on the plan about the bollards and the location, and so the revised plan has that on there.
Okay. Any other questions, commissioners?
Just from an hours of operation, since it's an animal veterinary hospital, is it 24/7, or is there certain operating hours, or maybe that's a question
for I'm going to defer to the doctor for that.
I need you to come up. Sorry, thank you.
Coming from work.
Yeah, just a name and address to get started. Thank you.
Dr. Lane Adams, 4008 Sudbury Court here in Midland. Yes, so as far as what we're going to do here, I have walked up here and I've forgotten your question.
Hours of operations.
Thank you very much. I apologize. It's been a day. So our goal is to build to it, and we'd like to be. We need enough space for doctor offices, which is why the second floor is all just offices. And then to be able to take emergencies here instead of sending people hours away. Mm-hmm. It's the goal. Okay. It'll take some time, but we'll get there. Okay. Any other questions I can answer?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other questions for me?
I think one last one for me. It's simply a point of order. We just need some sort of address for the record for you.
Oh, sorry. 9091 Helen White Drive, Lake Ann, Michigan.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys.
We'll now open the floor for public comments.
Good evening. My name is Dave Collette. I am the owner, tenant, and landlord of 112 and 110 Harold Street, which is adjacent to the existing operating animal hospital and adjacent also to what is at least a portion of, it looks like it's going to be the north side parking lot of the proposed new building, if you would. Obviously, I'm kind of residential, but not really. So I'm residential in the middle of a whole bunch of semi-commercial type stuff in this area. First of all, I'd say I have only had this particular property for 2 months, if you would. So I'm a little surprised that all this was going on. I'm late to the game, if you would. That being said, I will tell you that they have been absolutely fantastic neighbors, if you would. I have absolutely no objection to how they operate their business. I think they're conscientious. I think they've tried hard to do the right thing. I will tell you that I've done a bunch of revisions to my own property, if you would, trying to make the duplex a bit more habitable for my tenant and myself, if you would, all the way through. And during those processes, I've probably had, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 different contractors in, and they each independently, without asking, have volunteered both of the quality of the particular services and the fact that this is a really great person, if you would. So I don't know my neighbor very well, but I will tell you that she's got a great reputation. She's really done well. And I expect that, and I'm not surprised to hear that she's done very well in terms of working with the city in the effort. My only comment at this point in terms of trying to catch up to the process is I am kind of residential. I realize I may not be the zoned residential situation, and I understand the operations, i.e. the decisions and the efforts that have been made are the south side of the property where there really is residential zoned property, if you would. I would simply indicate and suggest that there is, again, along the north side where that particular parking lot is going to be, if you would, is going to impact us. And right now there is a strip of not just landscaping but trees. And as I indicated to some member of this particular council, I wasn't sure if I own that, whether she owns that, whether I don't know who owns it, if you would. I didn't really care, very frankly. All of a sudden, I care quite a bit. Okay, I want to make sure it stays there best we can. And if, in fact, there is some kind of a residential setback that is required or a fence, as I'm hearing for the residential side, I understand I may not be entitled to that. And I'm not lodging in any way a formal objection to what's going on here. I support her being in the neighborhood. I support what she's doing. I have no issues with this particular project at all. I'd like to get it done in a hurry so I don't have to listen to the rest of construction, but that's not necessarily the Planning Commission's issue, if you would. So the long and the short is I would like to make sure that what I can, to the extent possible, that the Planning Commission takes into the account that it is residential on that side, whether it's zoned that way or not. I have to live there. My tenant has to live there at this point in time. And if, in fact, that's going to be there, I'd like to see that that buffer be maintained and or the addition of the same type of thing that's being provided to the residents right next to the building on the south side of absolute residential stuff. I have not seen any site plans. It may have already been put in by the civil engineer, if you would. I understand there are now some additional landscaping things. I haven't seen that either. I would tell you you could show them to me tonight, and well, I'm legally blind, so I'm not going to be able to look at that either. So the long and the short is I'm going to have to try to play a little bit more catch up in that regard. But that would be my only thinking or thoughts regarding what we're doing with tonight is I'm all for the project. That's fine. She'll be a good neighbor here next to me, or she'll be a good neighbor back behind where she's going. That's just fine. I don't have any issue with that at all. But that would be my only comment in terms of how it might impact me, especially if it's going to be a 24-hour situation. It would be nice to not have the headlights come into my back window at that period of time. And if we could work towards that, and frankly, I'm not even sure that has to be a Planning Commission meeting. I suspect I can actually talk to her and we can work something out in that regard too. But so, you know, that is my only concern, and I don't want that concern to be raised to the level of a formal objection, because it is not. I just want to make the commission aware of what we're talking about. Thank you for the time. Appreciate it.
Dave?
Yes?
So just a clarifying question.
Sure. I'm sorry.
So with the setback, is it on the north side, the south side, or both?
It is the back of my property. Okay, it is, so I guess it would be the north side of her property, if you would, south side of mine,
yep.
if you would. And it would be the, I guess that's the west side, if you would, and probably, oh, I don't know, maybe half of what that west side. I don't know how many feet it is, but it probably isn't the whole 200 feet. I'm sure of that. I don't think I have 200 frontage, if you would. But it would be close to that. It would be pretty close in that way, somewhere there. But it would be about half of what that particular addition property is going to be.
And then could I get an exact address for the record, too, please?
Yeah, sure. 112 Harold and 110 Harold. There are two separate addresses for the duplex.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Yep, thank you.
Other comments or questions? Any other comments or questions? Sarah, do you want to come up for final comments, or Dr. Lane?
Thank you.
Again, my name is Sarah Ross, the engineer. And just to comment, that area where the parking lot is going, there's already a parking lot there. I think that we're maybe a foot closer to the property line, and we're going to be meeting the grades there pretty closely. So any landscaping that's right on the property line will probably stay. Anything that's on our part will probably be disturbed, just in order to get the curbing in there, because that's required with the new stormwater requirements. So that's kind of where we're at with that corner, is we're trying not to encroach on the property lines any more than they already are right now with the parking lot, because that's a T, that's a whole length of parking along that property line that he's referring to right now. So I think that addresses, for the most part, that comment. Does anyone have questions about it?
I think we're all set. Thank you,
okay,
sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I can provide some clarifications. I was the one who spoke to Mr. Collette before the meeting and misunderstood where his property was. Looking at the plan submitted by the applicant, the vegetation that he referenced is entirely on your property, sir. So that vegetation will not... Yeah, so now you know that's yours, for better or worse, and that won't be removed as part of this project. So that vegetative buffer that's existing on his property, unless Mr. Collette chooses to remove it, won't be removed as part of this project.
Okay. We'll go ahead and close the public hearing, and we will take this up for final consideration at our next meeting on April 23rd. So thank you for all for being here on this item. We'll now move to the second public hearing this evening. It's also a site plan, and that is number 430.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. So site plan number 430 is for First State Bank parking lot extension located at 400 Ashman Street. So the applicant is Woolgas Corporation on behalf of First State Bank. The zoning for the property is OS, office service. And it does have DNO, or the downtown Northside overlay, on top of this property as well. And again, the proposal is for a parking lot expansion of 12 spaces for a total of 33 spaces for this subject property. So here is the subject property located on the downtown block between Ashman and McDonald and Indian and Buttles. So the subject property does have frontages on each street, including the entire lengths of Buttles and McDonald. Taking a little bit closer look at the property, the proposed parking lot extends into this grassy area towards the corner of Buttles and McDonald. So this is kind of where this proposed parking lot extension here. Adequate vehicular access is provided to the site from Ashman Street, entrance and exit off of Ashman Street, as well as McDonald Street. None of that is changing. This is simply a parking lot extension in this area. Taking a look at the zoning, as I mentioned, the property is zoned OS, office service, and falls within the DNO, or Downtown Northside Overlay District. This is kind of the limits. West Indian Street, Indian Street is the limits of the downtown Northside overlay until it gets to Rod Street, and then it kind of comes up and further south there. So all of that checkered pattern that you're seeing there is the downtown Northside overlay. To the south-ish, southwest, we'll see the downtown district pick up. And then as we get further down, we'll see the downtown overlay district, kind of once you get west of Larkin Street or south of Larkin Street. I don't know, this is kind of, the orientation is a bit weird here, but okay. So this is the site plan. So there is, as I mentioned, this kind of gray, darker gray that you're seeing is the new asphalt for this proposed parking lot extension. There's a possible future building area along this portion of the development. First State Bank does exist here along Ashman and Buttles, kind of in this corner. And then there is a drive-through. Actually, go back to the other photo here. Drive-through here. Underground detention is part of this expansion, as well as part of the original construction. So kind of in this area, this kind of dashed area is existing underground detention. And then we do see some more provided with this parking lot expansion. So this is kind of the limits of the project. This is just a closer look. Again, this gray area is where this new asphalt will be. There is a new circulation, so before we would just see an island here, then parking all along up onto the edge of the sidewalk, essentially here. So this is proposing circulation, obviously, additional parking spaces, and then getting rid of the island that is currently existing along this access drive, and then replacing essentially with a larger island here to expand over this parking lot area. This is another view of the site plan. This does include landscaping. So as we can see, this island is landscaped. There is, with the additional parking, there's a requirement for additional bicycle parking. So they've provided that here. They are providing, so currently there is a screen wall here that's existing. They're proposing a pedestrian connection here to the sidewalk, out along Buttles, to the parking lot expansion, and this kind of acts as a break in the wrought iron fencing style that they're proposing down and around this entire length of the lot. So this is required, this ornamental fencing, and then this continuous shrubbery along the outside of that, which is all compliant with our landscaping ordinance. Let's see what else. So getting into parking a little bit, typically parking lot projects that don't exceed 51 parking spaces are handled through the administrative site plan review process. So the applicant is proposing an additional 12 spaces to the existing 21 spaces for a total of 33 parking spaces. So it would still fall under that that threshold for Planning Commission review. However, this proposal does exceed the maximum allowable parking by 4 spaces. So in that situation, the Planning Commission must review and approve that excessive parking, which I'll kind of get into that a little bit too. So at the time of original site plan approval in 2017, the usable floor area was calculated using the allowable ratio of 80%. So there wasn't enough detail at that time to calculate the usable floor area for the development in that grade of detail. So we're kind of seeing this difference in usable floor area after final construction. So whereas before in 2017, 20 parking spaces were required, 21 parking spaces were actually built. And then after some time, after final construction, we're seeing with this new tenant, there's actually 7,000 roughly square feet of usable floor area, which would require 24 parking spaces. So just a little bit of background on kind of how we're calculating the excessive parking. So this is out of our Article 5, Section 5.01(c)(7). And this is effectively saying that the city is wanting to minimize excessive areas of pavement, which lead to stormwater runoff and, parking lots kind of depreciate aesthetic standards. So exceeding the minimum required parking space requirements by greater than 20% shall not be allowed except as approved by the Planning Commission. In granting such additional space, the Planning Commission shall determine that such parking will be required based on documented evidence to accommodate the use on a typical day. So the applicant has provided some data on the usage of the site with the First State Bank financial institution, as well as the new tenant that is going on the second floor. I can let them kind of speak to some of that data. But after staff reviewing this, based on consideration of the site plan, we believe this fits harmoniously into this area of the city. The documented evidence that they provided in their letter do kind of support the need for this greater number of parking spaces when considering increased staffing of the permitted uses, the more detailed measurements of the usable floor area, underground stormwater detention, and just the overall level of increased parking that is requested. So if granted approval, staff does recommend the inclusion of the contingency that a final stormwater management permit is issued by the city engineering department. So regarding the process, the application really doesn't raise any concerns as presented. The applicant has been working with city staff on this, as well as other required permitting, such as interior building remodeling for the new tenant and the stormwater management. Based on the nature and scale of the proposed project, as well as the lack of additional required information, so city staff, planning department staff, isn't waiting on any additional site plan materials, it may be appropriate for the Planning Commission to consider waiving the rules of procedure and taking action on this item tonight. We expect, again, no additional changes to be presented at the next meeting. We have not received any public comments. And with that, I'll entertain any questions.
Thank you, Ryan. Questions, commissioners? So the site has, like, enough building space that would require 24 spaces, and they're asking for 33?
That's correct.
And you mentioned that there was, like, some evidence. I guess we'll wait for them to present the evidence as to what that is. Okay, thanks.
I guess a question I had is on the square footage difference of what was planned versus what was realized. I'm not sure exactly the process of how that occurs, but just kind of curious of why the 1,000 square foot discrepancy.
Yeah, so I don't want to say typically, but a lot of times a site plan will come in without kind of the floor plan decided. So sometimes differences in the storage areas or stairwells or some of the other uses that would not be calculated towards the usable square footage of floor area. So that could be one piece of it. Maybe the tenants are using more space that would have been, you know, thought to have been used for bathrooms or, like I said, other floor area that isn't calculated towards that. Kind of going back, a lot of times we'll see site plans that will use a calculation that uses an allowable ratio of 80% of the total floor area to be considered the usable floor area. So if they just don't know, if they don't have that level of detail, they will use that 80% ratio. So it's likely that after further, you know, building permitting, those details do come out. So that's kind of where we're, it's kind of an interesting situation. We don't see this a lot, but.
So it's more in the usable piece of it versus the, I mean, because I would think the square footage would be fairly fixed. It's that it's the definition within that square feet that changes.
Yeah, so I should have clarified that a little bit more. So financial institutions are required to provide one space per 300 square feet of usable floor area. So we would be looking at that usable floor area total for the entire building, first and second floor. Have that answered question.
I understand. Thank you.
Just two clarification points for me. One, I didn't see it, but just wanted to confirm that we're not talking about any new curb cuts onto any nor bottles at this point, correct?
That's correct.
And then I may have been looking at it wrong, is the drive-through going away at this point as a part of this, or is that still present?
Nope, the drive-through is staying. There is, so I don't know if it was maybe an artifact of, doesn't really show it on here, but so there is a, there's a, that's what I'm looking for, a kind of a radius that is changing slightly to achieve better circulation through that drive-through. So kind of, again, it doesn't show it on here, but kind of where this drive-through, actually here, I'll go to the, again, it's kind of, it's really small, but this radius is changing ever so slightly to kind of increase efficiency in exiting the drive-through. But no, the drive-through is staying as part of this site.
Okay. And then my last clarification is with the detention, it's already there, correct? And that's not being impacted or changed. Nothing's being added at this point, correct? It's just a new stormwater management permit. Correct.
So there is new stormwater detention being added to the site.
Oh, okay.
So currently, the stormwater that does exist is in this portion of the parking lot.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's remaining, and then this is being added for this added impervious area of the parking lot extension.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions? We'll invite the petitioner to present.
Thank you. My name is Neil Frank. I'm the Vice President of Architecture with Wall Gas Design Group and Wall Gas Corporation. We are the design builders for this project and the design builders for the original project. My address is 1494 North Graham Road, Freeland, Michigan, 48623. I used to live in Hemlock, but it's just 626, so I just have to think hard on that. I'll reiterate our thanks to Ryan Smith. You know, his thoroughness in the staff reports compared to other jurisdictions that I go before, very detailed, very thorough. We appreciate staff support on our project. I also thank all of you, a lot of familiar faces. I was last here, I think last summer, for a couple of meetings for a project on Schutte Drive. And I may have mentioned then too, I have an extra appreciation for what you do. I'm on the Planning Commission in my home jurisdiction. So I appreciate you being here on a night with 70 degrees when I drove in. So I hear you, I know where you're at, and I appreciate what you do to the, you know, to give back to the community by sitting on this board. First, just to, while they're fresh in my mind, to address a couple of the questions a little further. From a usable square footage, I think what you were questioning, that's different than gross square footage. The gross square footage didn't change, but the parking is calculated by usable square footage. We in our office typically use 70% when we don't have a floor plan established when we go in for site plan approval. So that may have been where the number was lower than maybe even Ryan might have expected, an 80%. We, however, as I mentioned, we were the developer. I worked on the plans, assisted the plans for the original development. So we did work through an actual floor plan. I have that on record to be able to calculate actual usable square footage electronically. We also helped with the, we were design builder for the second floor renovations when the original first tenant went in there. We did bid out, we were a bidder on the new tenant that's going in the second floor. So I had a copy of their floor plan. So I was able to do a more detailed analysis of usable square footage. So hopefully that addresses that question a little deeper. One of the other things I wanted to mention, the drive-through, yes, it is definitely staying. In addition to, so what has happened over time is the bank has been open since 2018. And bigger vehicles are having a hard time getting through the drive-through. I have an extended Silverado. I've tried it myself. It's difficult. So we're doing a little rework of the what I would call the exit throat of the drive-through to increase the radius to make it easier to swing out. We are also on this the plan Ryan has up right now. There's two finger islands that are kind of shown shaded in gray towards the upper left. Those are existing curved islands that are on either side of that drive-through approach. And we're posing, again, it's hard to get into that entrance throat of the drive-through. So we're proposing to remove the curb islands, replace it with asphalt to the existing grade, and stripe that area. So as you're swinging into the drive-through, you're not subject to jumping over the curb. You're just going over a striped island. So we're doing some improvements there, again, based on the track record of the site that First State Bank has been through. And before I forget, I do have Todd Gregory here with First State Bank. So if we get to a point where any of you have questions more about the operations side of First State Bank, he's my backup. But the root of us being here before the Planning Commission, as Ryan said, we're asking for four additional spaces. There's a three-page letter that I issued to Ryan to supplement our submittal that outlines two different methods of our practical calculation of what the parking needs are for that building. They have had a parking issue. You know, again, they have a track record. They've been open since 2018. They had a new tenant coming in this recently, and they wanted to address the parking situation, and so did the new tenant. During peak times, you'll see that the calculations that I've given support the 33 spaces. And to be transparent, we went in assuming, I first sent Ryan a conceptual site plan for this additional parking back in September. And we had a communication on it. So yeah, it looks pretty good. Should be an administrative site plan review. We moved forward. We fully engineered the site to handle the additional stormwater, as Ryan mentioned. We're doing it underground. We're using our consulting engineer is Spicer Group. They were the original site engineer or civil engineer for the original development. They're very familiar with the project. So we did our due diligence. We got our plans together. We submitted them at the end of January. And Ryan and staff are very good at making sure all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed. And he's a week later or so, into February, he says, "Hey, Neil, you're over the maximum allowable." And I'm like, "Wow, there's a maximum allowable?" Like, we just came in because we knew what First State Bank and the tenant would need. We didn't realize there was a limit. And so here we are. we're down the road. We submitted in January, and it's April, and the weather has been great. We are the design builder, so we are the contractor on the job that will be doing the work. We're ready. Before the meeting, I heard Jacob talking to, just amongst the crowd, that some applicants come in asking for approval, and they run to the end of the time limit. Others come in at 8:01 on the next day after approval, and they're ready to go. We're ready to go, and we'd appreciate you deliberating with the possibility of making a decision tonight. And again, partly based on the fact that we have fully addressed over the last 2 or 3 weeks, Ryan and I have gone back and forth. We've added the bike rack. You know, we're dotting those I's, we're crossing the T's. Again, I understand the three pages is a lot to digest about the actual needs of the parking. And if there are any questions specifically about that, I'd be happy to address them. But again, those statistics are based on First State Bank's practical use. I worked with Jim Milroy, CEO and president of First State Bank, to help come up with his thoughts on the numbers. He reached out to the CFO of Benjamin Edwards, the tenant going in on the second floor. And, you know, that's, again, we're at those 33 parking spaces is what's needed. And on peak days, there could be, there'll be extra. You know, there'll be need for even probably more than that. But 33 is where we originally started our submittal process here. And then it just kind of happened to trigger into this four additional parking spaces beyond the maximum allowed with that 20%. So again, we're at 21 existing spaces. We're proposing 12 more to get us to 33. It's four over the 20%. So with that, I think I elaborated on some of the questions that came up. I'm happy to entertain any other questions that may have to be answered. And again, I have Todd with me too, if there's any specific operational sides of things. But again, we're two goals in the project: improve the drive-through access and provide adequate parking for the tenants. And the other, just one little last kind of segment on parking calculations. I work with a lot of jurisdictions, and there's a lot of different ways to compute parking. Sometimes based on usable square feet, sometimes based on gross square feet, sometimes based on building occupancy load, which is determined by the building code. And you end up with all kinds of different variants of that. And then within each ordinance, there's also categories that have different parking requirements, right? Professional offices, financial institutions, drive-through restaurants. And not every business within each of those categories necessarily has the same parking needs. So you have to be open to consider the actual usage in determining what's fair to that client. And I think it goes to show that First State Bank, as the landlord of the building, is willing to put in the amount of money that this project is going to cost them, and potentially, you know, over the years, to take care of a parking problem. And we ask, you know, again, for support on that. So appreciate it.
Any questions, commissioners?
I have a question. You mentioned there's a lot of different calculations to come up with a number. Where did the 33 come from your end or from their end?
So Ryan's packet includes the 3-page letter that I submitted on March 12th. Mm-hmm. And there are two different views on how we arrived at 33. And I will tell you, the first one was kind of my take on it. Counted the number of offices, assumed that there's a customer client with each one of those staff members. On the first floor, the teller, each teller booth has a teller. Each teller has a customer at it. And each of the two floors has a little waiting area with a couple of chairs, added those number of chairs in. And without including, in my calculations, anybody in the either meeting room on either floor, I'm at 33 spaces. So that's based on just counting rooms and counting the expected number of people in each of those rooms. And again, that's sort of a peek. And then, so that's on the second page of that letter that I submitted. And on the third, final page is the results of First State Bank saying, this is how many staff members we typically have per day. This is our average customer count. This is the average number of staff members that we have in the building from another location at any given time. And similar data for the second floor came from the CFO of Benjamin Edwards, the new tenant. So two different scenarios, and ironically, they both kind of total out at about 33 spaces.
Okay. So. And you had mentioned a parking problem, so that's what I was just trying to get a feel for. From an empirical data standpoint, like at what percentage is the parking lot full at what times, or trying to define what that problem is.
Yeah, and I appreciate that question, but without actual like traffic counts and traffic studies, that's hard for us to document. Okay. So that's where we had to kind of come up with some logical data in two different supporting methods to come up with the need for the 33. Because it would have been relatively simple for First State to say, well, just skip the 4. And we asked them, you know, do we go forward with this and go through this process? And said, yeah, we need it. So that's where we're at.
So some of this is being prompted by the new tenant, or this is an existing?
Yeah, so both. It was already sort of a problem, a challenge with peak times at the bank. But the new tenant in the second floor is anticipating a higher use of the parking lot than the original first tenant that was there, Cancer Services. So more intensive use, more traffic or parking.
And where, when it's already full downstairs, where are folks parking now?
I'm sorry?
Where are folks parking? Where are folks going when the parking lot is getting to?
Anywhere they can outside of the block. I don't even think there's on-street parking on any of the three sides. Can you bring up the aerial? And one of the things I was considering, too, driving here today is, I mean, how many people want to go into a financial institution and walk out with the cash to buy their used car and have to walk 2 blocks to park in a public parking lot? I mean, there's just kind of the safety of having the right number of parking spaces that could support the daily use of the site. So am I correct on that? There's no... Hard to tell.
You are correct.
No, there's...
Yeah, I didn't think there was. Yeah.
Other questions? All right. Thank you very much, Neil.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll open it up for public comments. Public comments or questions? Public comments or questions? Any final comments from you? Okay, go ahead and close the public hearing. The applicant has asked that we consider waiving our rules of procedure and considering it this evening. So before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I'm looking for a motion and a second on that item of business.
I'll motion.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to waive our rules of procedure. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. We will consider it this evening. Comments, commissioners?
Well, I don't like the idea of, you know, having a downtown filled with parking lots. It doesn't seem like it's that much of a variance. Having spent a lot of time in Detroit, the parking lot problems they have there, I'd hate to see our downtown experience that. But at the same time, when I go into this parking lot, it is extremely small. I live a couple blocks from there, and it's the closest ATM. And that driveway, I can't wait for you to fix it. It's awful, and I have a small car. Just even trying to get close to the ATM is very problematic. So I'm very much looking forward to that, and I can see why it would need more space.
I would agree that I would like to not see a lot more parking downtown. There could potentially be overflow at the building across the street where I know Century 21 is located. But then again, you're crossing a three-way, one-way street with potentially cash in hand to get there. So without having those converted, slowing down traffic and converting in that aspect, I don't think that it really makes sense with one-way traffic, three lanes going every direction around that property to do anything but give them additional parking that they need.
I think I'm hung up on documented evidence as a term. That might be the lawyer in me. And I understand that we received a letter with the thoughts on it, but I guess seeing the evidence that of the need beyond, I guess, the number of offices and the number of chairs that are available. I guess I would like to have seen maybe something more for documented evidence. It's just a strong term, but
Any other comments?
I guess just within the downtown district, you know, I would be hesitant to look to make variances for additional parking. It is harmonious with the area since there is a lot of parking there, including public parking. But within that district, I mean, it doesn't, it's above the access, and that's why we're reviewing it. And I mean, within that downtown district, we would like, I think, less traffic and more modes of transportation.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree that we've talked about parking a lot specifically, or generally, but specifically to downtown as well. And it's complex. I mean, it's a question of not just parking generally, but when it comes to downtown, where that parking is and how much of the parking that's already there is usable or could be made more usable. So it's a question of location. It's a question of other relating factors as well. From my standpoint, this is one area we've actually seen somewhat of a demonstrated need for additional parking, which we haven't necessarily seen in other parts of the downtown where there is parking. So I don't think we're going to solve the other tonight with anything that we're going to do on this particular item in front of us this evening is where I'm at this point.
I think for me is the type of transactions that's happening, say, at a bank is often more in the minutes range versus maybe walking to dining from a side street or something like that. I mentioned taking money out, but from experience also, cash drops can be happening as well, and walking distances for a couple minute transaction seems a little bit more than, so I think there is warranted parking more local to that space, but agreed, you know, downtown in general, we don't want proliferation just for the sake of parking.
Okay.
I guess I was wondering, am I allowed to ask Ryan a question? you know, so a phrase that you said, we see this in line with the rest of this area, the downtown area. And I guess I wonder how did you, you know, come to that conclusion that like going beyond the normal limit is normal, because I do have concerns about, you know, putting too much parking downtown.
Sure. So it's not necessarily that the counts are more so the developments on either side of this block aren't necessarily providing excess parking, given their usable square feet of floor area. But the development as a whole, kind of with the ornamental fencing, landscaping, aesthetic of the development, could be seen as harmonious within the area, specifically between Indian and Buttles. That was kind of the sort of description of that. Again, just looking at this site specifically, this is providing excess parking based on its usable square footage. So I don't know if it's apples to apples, really. But as a whole, it's harmonious with the parking lots that we're seeing on either side of this development.
Other comments? So I'll make a motion that we approve site plan number 430.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve site plan number 430. Would you please call roll?
McCoy?
Yes.
Decrow?
Yes.
Kohlinger?
Yes.
Powell?
No.
Thomas?
No.
Craig?
No.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Roderick?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-3.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That concludes our public hearings this evening. We'll move on to old business. I'm seeing none unless any commissioners have any old business that they'd like to address. Moving on to any public comments unrelated to items on the agenda. Public comments unrelated to items on the agenda. New business, I'm seeing none, but would welcome any from the commission at this point. Communications, I don't believe we've received any, or did I?
You do have one in your packet tonight from John Musty regarding Midland City Modern and our public comment process at Planning Commission.
And that was in our packet, you said? I'm sorry.
That's correct, yep, at the back of the packet.
Any questions on that communication, commissioners? Any concerns? All right, we'll move on to the report of the chairperson. I have none. Report of the planning director.
Just real quickly, next meeting, we do have two additional site plans for your consideration, in addition to bringing site plan 429 back for decision. On May 14th, we will be officially bringing back the updated master plan to you, and ask the planning commission to set the public hearing, which is the next and last required step in the adoption process. We would look to set that public hearing for June 11th and look for the Planning Commission to consider adoption the same evening. So we are getting very close to the finish line on this part of the Midland City Modern process. And of course, we will look forward to many years of the next part, which is implementation of the plan. That's all I have tonight, Mr. Chair.
Okay. I'm looking for a final motion.
Move that we adjourn.
Second.
Motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. All right,
those opposed, same sign. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
This program is presented by a community producer through Midland Community Television. The City of Midland and MCTV are not responsible for the content of the program. The views presented do not necessarily represent those of the City of Midland or MCTV. If you would like to produce your own program, contact MCTV at 837-3474 or access our website, cityofmidlandmi.gov/MCTV. We hope you enjoy the following presentation.